And I this morning just want to give you guys a little bit of update on our fast that starts tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all in the house.
Tomorrow.
Yes, you can, because you're not going hungry. You're engaging with Christ.
Right. You're going in to be filled. Amen. Amen. First, I just want to say we have about 130 households represented in this year's fast. And that, amen, that's pretty exciting. I think that's the largest we've had that we know of.
Yeah.
This is the first time we actually did signups.
Yes.
But it's really exciting to have so many of our family members joining us. Amen. Throughout the month, we have been introducing our fast through an acronym, Fresh Affection Splendid Treasure. Amen. And it's perfect that we chose that acronym because this month's fast is on serving in love.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We are going to be challenged to a lot of Holy Spirit to show us how to serve in love. Many times we say, we know how to do that, right? I know how to serve in love. I know how to love my husband. But sometimes we just take one another for granted that we forget that our behaviors are not necessarily loving. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily convey love. So we are challenging ourselves to hide into Christ so that he can reveal to you those ways that you can refresh and renew not only your love between you and him, but also your love between you and your spouse, you and your children, you and your siblings, you and your neighbor, you and your job, you and your ministry. Amen. Amen. So we are going to be talking about serving love. If you have not received the packet that we mailed out last Monday, I ask you to check your spam folder because it went out last Monday around 6 p.m. Pacific time. So check your spam folder because we're going to be sending out another one between tonight and tomorrow. Yes. That'll give you, we'll try to send something out each week to encourage you to move forward in this fast. Amen.
Amen. I just also just, the other thing is to actually read the material. The material will explain to you why fast, how, what the Bible says about fasting, how important it is to fast. It will give guidelines on the different type of fasts that you can do in this time. We supplied a calendar that will help guide you. It's just a guideline. Amen? So it will give you scriptures. The scriptures will go back in serving in love. It talks about Christ's walk and how he loves us. Amen? So this will encourage you as you go along. It will give you some scripture focus throughout the fast. But it's so important that you're before the Lord and you're asking him to lead you through the scriptures. These are just a little head start, a beginning, that you go deep in the word.
Amen.
Amen. So we just wanted to give you a quick heads up. It'll be a full 5-minute commercial later that will go into some more details, but watch for it. And watch for it and be excited about it. Amen. Because we are.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You gotta get on that side. And you do, I'm just telling them to be wise about fasting too.
Yes. Yes. Again, you should, if you're on medications, you really need to be prayerful. You need to consult with your doctor.
Yeah.
Again, your faith is the most important thing, but you gotta do it with wisdom.
Yeah.
Do everything
wisdom.
In wisdom. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are breastfeeding, not talking to anybody in particular, you might not want to fast. Kids know when you're trying to give them skim milk.
There is a lot of good health reasons why we need to be careful and use wisdom.
Use wisdom.
Yes, amen.
If your baby needs your nutrition, you can't be fasting. But, I'm just saying that.
Yes, and that, you know, and we're going to speak about it later. We spoke about it in the house. That's why, you know, fruits and vegetables and choosing how to eat to encourage your body, right? You want to empty out the junk.
Mm-hmm.
It's never a bad idea to give up junk food.
Amen.
That's never a bad idea.
That's what I'm
doing.
So
if that's the least that you can do, then amen.
Amen.
Right? You know, if that's the most you can do, then amen. That's a beginning, and that could still get you to be begin a detox that will clear up and help you in your commitment to hearing from God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Dre, I'm sorry if I have to say, but there are some people that didn't catch what Pastor Sanders was saying. So in your announcement, you may need to reiterate that for children.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, that's yes.
Women should address the women.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
like
if you're pregnant You know, if you're breastfeeding, these type of things, you don't want to get involved in
diabetic.
Diabetic. You don't want to get all super excited. I'm doing this for God and faint. We want you to pray about it and say, you know, I can't do right now because of the situation I'm in or because of my health. But say I think I'll fast from watching stupid things on TV, or I'll fast from by taking a walk
TV,
and praying with God
media.
Every day. Everything, what you decide to do is your fast. Your fast, Daniel's fast is different from what Jesus did and different from what John the Baptist did. So your fast is what you and God determines the time you're going to be wise.
Our Father, name of Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you, dear Jesus, for this time together, dear Jesus. I pray that we do everything, dear Lord, according to your will for our lives, dear Lord, including fasting, dear Jesus. Help us to be sensitive to the Spirit, dear Lord. We don't want to do anything without the impression of the Holy Spirit on our heart, dear Lord. Our walk is individually transforming for each and every person. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to walk in wisdom. Help us to walk in obedience. We thank you for this time as we come together. We pray right now over the word of God, dear Jesus. Come expecting to hear from you this morning, dear Jesus. That the word has been sown in tune with Pastor Sandy's spirit, that he had bowed and submitted himself to you this morning, that he can hear from you clearly, Lord. And those words be transform, related to us in a relatable fashion, dear Lord, that we will have a greater understanding when we leave here today. Again, another reason to be excited about communion together in your word. We thank you and we bless you this morning, Lord. Continue to bless the pastor. Fill him with your word. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think it's important for Drea to pray for me. Some of the members, the YouTube members, they're like, I love when Pastor Drea prays for you. And I think it's powerful to have your partner pray for you. And that's my life partner. So I'm thankful. Pastor Ben, okay.
Okay, so we good to go?
Yeah, we're good to go. Did you get your booklets? You got them. Brent's not here and I forgot he was at home, so it's good. How you doing, Charles? Good, brother. Yeah. All right. Hey, Pops, you got to wear this so we don't catch that Patriot. No. You know, I'm just like. Spread the Patriot fever around here.
Oh, that was good.
That's right. Okay, praise the Lord. So what's going on in the news today? If you're on YouTube, well, if you're on regular TV, they're just talking about how horrible the coronavirus is getting, and 4 million people died yesterday, and you know, so if you're watching the news, that's what you're going to get. If you're watching YouTube, it's, oh, the Antichrist is getting ready to kill us all. So, the Lord is like, you know what, try to listen to them as little as possible. Because a lot of people get away from what the Bible's saying because it's not as much of an ear tickler as the other things are, okay? And we like things that perk us up and make us, you know, and say, ooh, is that happening? Mm-hmm. Oh, he might be the Antichrist. And oh, you know, and God is really more interested that you know what he's doing, you know? You always, with counterfeit money, they just want you to know what real money feels like. They don't want you to spend all your time, you know, touching counterfeit money so you can know what counterfeit money is. They want you to know what real money feels like. Mm-hmm. So when you get to the counterfeit, you're like, okay, this ain't right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I want to be in the Word of God. I want to know what God is doing, right? so that I don't get caught up in all of the crazy foolishness that's going on. Because to tell you the truth, it doesn't matter what they're doing. If they come on the news tomorrow and say, hey, you know, next month decided that anybody who doesn't have the vaccine, they're going to ship them off to Guantanamo Bay. And no matter what they say, it doesn't matter. What is important is, what is God doing right now?
Yeah.
You already know that you're steps away from the tribulation, okay? Or the world is steps away from the tribulation. We already know that. And we know that because of what they're actually doing. They're actually doing Revelation stuff right now, okay? Many people have been trying to help me because I know what my calling is. I was there when God called me. I can't convince you. It's like Moses, you know, getting to the Pharaoh and Pharaoh asking me, who sent you, you know? And Moses is going to say, God, you know? And he can't prove it. He can't go back and, I didn't record it, you know? But you need to know God sent me. And so I was there when God called me. I was there when he called me to ministry. I was there when he prophesied over my life of what type of Bible teacher I would be. I was there when he prophesied and told me exactly what he wanted me to preach, okay? And all of these were not dreams. They're God speaking to me and saying, this is what I want you to do. Okay, so as we go through this Bible study today, and we are going to be talking about one of my favorite people in the Bible, and that's Joseph and his story.
Oh, yes.
I try to express to all of us, I think in the past Bible study last Wednesday, that the Bible is all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not a, you know, I'm gonna try to get that amen again. The Bible is not about you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jack.
Amen.
Because you can take everything in the Bible and kind of turn it towards you and say, this is about me. And Jesus is like, no, I'm talking about me. Why every time I talk about me, you got to make it about you. You know what I mean? And so we be careful that we don't do that. There are lessons in the Bible we can learn from, but ultimately God is wrote the Bible so you can learn about him and his plan. And the instructions are what you need to do to gain eternal life, right? Those are the instructions. And so my calling is to get us prepared to get out of here. That's my calling. It's never going to change. I'm going to do it till the horn blows, whether I look foolish or whether I look great. I'm going to do it till the horn blows. You understand?
Yeah.
So I want you guys to know, this is God's calling to me, and I do not believe that God called me to this for no reason. As far as I'm concerned, me and God has led me and Pastor Ben perfectly since we started this. With information, we were talking about recombinant DNA technology like 7-8 years ago, right? And recombinant DNA is meaning using a chip or something to cross your DNA and change you into something else. We're talking about stuff a long time ago, and you know, we were just like the crazy back then. But now everybody loves us. They think we're the real, they're the cool guys that know. But back then we were like just a couple of conspiracy theory nuts, right? So, but now all of it is here, okay? And my concern is leaving. I want to get married. That's it. That's my biggest concern. I'm a single mother with kids. I don't date. We do marriage trial. That's it. Our marriage, right? That's what I'm looking for in the Lord, okay? And that's what I'm looking for as far as the church is concerned, is that you understand and know that you're not in a religion that just stretches out and stretches out and stretches out and stretches out. Even the rapture has a time. The 120th year being up right now is a time frame, okay? The 1,000 years is a time frame. So we're not looking at, okay, 20 years from now, I'm still up here going, and soon and very soon. No, we've been on a timeline, and I know that. And since Israel is already rebirthed, since we're waiting on this to happen, we have, my thing is to make sure that you're ready, because there are a lot of deceivers out there.
Yes.
To get you away from walking with Christ. And walking with Christ is a decision. And it's a discipline. Okay? It's a decision and it's a discipline. Okay? As a football player, I could not work out when I felt like it, because I wasn't going to go anywhere if I did that. And believe me, most mornings I didn't feel like it. Feeling like it is not, so I felt like praying today. Or I felt like reading the Bible today. You know what I mean? It's a discipline. You say, well, this is when I'm going to read. This is when I'm going to pray. This is when I'm going to do this, right? It's a discipline that you stay consistent on. And through the consistency, you develop yourself and you're prepared. Do not have a feeling relationship with God. Have a disciplined relationship with God, because you're not going to always feel like praying. You're not going to always feel like reading the Bible. But if you have set times that you're doing things, you're going to be ready and prepared to leave. Okay?
Amen.
I want us to read Genesis chapter 7, because I want to commend my friend Rod. He's a Oklahoma Sooner. I don't usually really even speak to those people. You know, I got a lot of, you get a lot of enemies when you play football. You know. And Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Okay, what's February? Is February the first or second month of the year? Second month. This February is the second month of the year, right?
Gregorian calendar. Yeah,
on the Gregorian calendar. You know, thank you, Pastor Ben, for letting me know, because I don't really go by that calendar. But you know what? God, by showing us 1941 and 5708, shows that he knows both calendars. Do you know that?
Yeah.
The 5708 was 1948. And the 5708 scripture of the Torah says Israel's going to go back into the land, but that's 1948. You know what I mean? Yeah. So God knows both calendars. Don't think that God is like oblivious to one calendar and he knows the other calendar. Okay?
Amen.
So, glasses, please. Okay. So, this is my hope that Rod is right. Because next month is the second month, the 17th day. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 says this. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So the second month is February, the 17th is the 17th. I'm not talking about the Hebrew calendar, I'm talking about the Gregorian calendar. But Rod wanted to know, maybe God was talking about the Gregorian calendar when he said the flood started, because it will be during the month of Adar, which still links up with Esther. So I thought that was pretty good. And I said, I'm going with that, because, you know, the sooner I leave, the better. And then David, I think his last name is Hegel, gave me a study that the Lord, well, God, he prayed and asked God. He said, Pastor Sandy, you don't know, you don't understand the wheat harvest, because you know that the church is a wheat harvest. And if we leave before Pentecost, then we've actually left before the wheat harvest. So how could the church be a wheat harvest? So his thing was that he prayed and he asked the Lord, and God told David, or God placed upon his heart that during the year of that the famine began, there was no harvests. A matter of fact, they had stored all of the harvest up, because they knew that tribulation was coming, And so they stored all of the harvest up, all of the wheat, all of the grain. They had already stored it up because they knew that they were coming to the seventh year and that was going to be a tribulation year. There'd be no harvest. So it's not good to look for a harvest after Nisan first, because there'll be no harvest because that'll be the tribulation year. And I thought, wow, David, that's incredible. And so, of course, I said, well, let me see about Joseph and about, because you get this understanding from Joseph, because Joseph is the one who said what? He said to the king, what you dreamed is this. We're going to have seven good years and we're going to have seven bad years. Okay. And the Lord is showing you so that you prepare now and store up your grain and your harvest now, because when the tribulation year comes, which is the 120th year, there'll be no harvesting at that time. And so I thought, let me get back and study Joseph, because a lot of people don't understand Joseph and don't understand what's going on here, okay? So, you guys ready?
Sir.
The only one that probably has is Jackie, because she has the book. And so I'm in our Hebrew school. This is our Hebrew school.
Is that book one or two?
This is book two, okay? This is book two of the Hebrew school. It has 17 lessons about Hebrew and how it helps you learn the Bible. If you haven't taken these courses, I'm going to seem kind of crazy because I'm talking about Hebrew and I'm talking about things that are typologies and links in the Bible, because I take the Bible serious, okay? And so it gives you the meaning of every Hebrew letter, so that you know that there's a meaning to each letter, there's a numerical value to each letter. It's giving you understanding so that when you're reading the Bible, you don't read it like they're just stories or things that you need to be familiar with, but they're also, it has an author, and the author is telling you his story according to his language and his culture, okay? And the more you understand his language and his culture, you're going to understand what he's talking about. And then you don't twist the scripture and make it about something that you want it to be about, but what he's actually saying, okay? So, I'm going to be reading the book of Genesis, and I'm going to start in chapter 37. So I want everyone to be in Genesis chapter 37. I'm made, so I might have to walk over there. I hope that don't bother you, Pastor Bill. Okay. Because the way that this starts off is pretty incredible, and nobody would even know it's incredible until you look at it, okay? Because I want you to know you're dealing with God, okay? And if I don't prove it to you, because God never told us to have blind faith. He said, you will know I am when this happens. Okay, he says, I'm going to say it and it's going to happen. That's how you're going to know I'm God. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 37, I'm going to go there as well so that I can read both the book and read my notes as well. Okay, it says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, okay, a young man, was 17 years old. He was 17, was tending the flock with his brothers, the son of Bilhah, and all the sons of Zilpah, and the father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. So how old is Joseph when he he's out in the field and he's intending shot a fly. 17 years old. Is that important to us?
Yeah.
Why is it important to us? Because Jesus is born 17 years before the 4,000th year. That means that, look, since a lamb can't be killed until the fourth day, Jesus is born 17 years before he's actually qualified to be a lamb. You understand? So when Jesus is born, it's 17 years before you get to the 4,000th year. Okay? And so this becomes very important because there is a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Judah who in 1217 made a prophecy about all the coming jubilees. And he said there'll be 400 years and then Israel will be captured. And then for the next, I forget how many years, but there's going to be, there will be, they will control the land for, I think, the next 300 years, right? And so he gets this prophecy in 1217. So now why does he get it in 1217? Because remember, God's been counting time. He knows when to give this guy the prophecy. So finally, his prophecy comes true, and the Ottoman Turks take over Jerusalem in what year? 1517, right? And so from that year, that was a jubilee in 1517, when did Israel celebrate the first jubilee that Jerusalem was going to belong to them again? 1917, the Balfour Accord. So his prophecy came true, but look, you're going from 1217 to 1517 to 1917, the Balfour Accord. Then the next jubilee is 1967, exactly 50 years from there. Then the next time someone pronounces that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews is 2017, Donald Trump. So why is all of this staying in perfect time with 17, with the 17th year? Because God is counting time. He put the stars, he put everything in the sky, because he's counting days, months, and years, because even demons know that there is an appointed time. They ask Jesus, are you here to destroy us before the appointed time? And Jesus never said back to him, you don't even know what the appointed time is. He never said that. But what Jesus should have said is, you know that there is an appointed time. And Christians need to know that demons know that there's an appointed time, because Christians are the only people that think that things just go on forever. Whereas God is counting time, and he knows tribulation is going to start. He knows there's going to be a 7-year period. Well, how does he know? God is already in this story that we're about to talk about in Joseph. He talks of 7 good years, and then he talks about 7 years of famine that's coming upon the whole world. So the 7 years has been solid with God that this is going to happen, even from the time that he's talking about Joseph's life here, okay? Because we're going to look at all of the things in Joseph's life. So I want you to remember that God prophesied 1217, started it in 1517, completed it in 1917, continued it in 1967 and 2017. So if God's not keeping time and he doesn't know the tribulation's going, somebody needs to wake up. That's what I'm saying, okay? We're not dealing with religion here. We're dealing with God who's proving himself by what he does, okay? So let's continue here. It says that Joseph was 17. And why does it say that Joseph was 17? Amen. Thank you. It's trying to let you know that this story is fully connected to Jesus. Joseph, this whole thing has nothing to do with Joseph. I want you to know that. What does the name Joseph mean? God will add. Okay? Joseph means God is going to use Joseph to add to the Hebrew people. He's going to multiply the Hebrew people by doing what? Giving them Joseph. So he's going to give Egypt Joseph. And when you give, what do? You multiply. This is a spiritual thing. I'm not talking about trying to make no tithing commercial. But I'm just letting you know that if you want to multiply yourself, you have to give it away. And I'm not always talking about money, and God always makes sure I say that. You have to give away time. If you want more time, you say, I just don't have enough time. Find somebody that needs your time and give some away, and then God will give you more time. You understand? So everything, a spiritual rule, is time. But God is going to add to the Jewish people, and he's going to add to this whole thing. Let me just go through the notes here, okay? So here we are, and it says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 4, and when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak a peaceable word to him. His own brothers hated him, right? Did Jesus' own brothers hate him? Joseph dreamed that he would one day rule over his brothers, and his mother and his father would also bow down to him. Do you know he dreamed that? And it said, and Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers, and they hated him even more. So now Joseph is being hated by his brothers to the point where they can't even speak a word of goodness about him. If Joseph is the typology of Jesus, he must be rejected by his brothers. We see a picture of his death, resurrection. He marries a Gentile bride, later becomes head over the same people who rejected him by rescuing them. And we read through the historical events, we should see all of these events take place. If Joseph is representing Jesus, all of these things have to take place. He has to marry a bride. Okay? He has to be rejected by his own people. His own people have to throw him in a hole, intending to kill him, and then he survives that, and then comes out of the hole and goes on to have life and become king. So everything about Joseph has to be just like Jesus, because God is not talking about Joseph. God is always, Revelation 19:10 says, the word of God is prophecy. I'm talking to you about my story, not Joseph's story. I'm just you. Joseph's story, so you see what I'm going to do later, okay? Verse 2. It says, these are the generations of Jacob. Being 17 years old, he was feeding the flock with his brother, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah and his father's wives, and Joseph brought his father an evil report concerning his brothers. Now, Joseph is a shepherd. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So Joseph is a shepherd and Jesus is a shepherd. Verse 5. Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. John 7 verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus walked into Galilee, for he would not walk with the Jews anymore because the Jews sought to kill him. So all the scriptures is saying everything that happened to Joseph is what happened to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Verse 6 says, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves. What's sheaves? Grain. Bundles of grain, bundles of wheat, but they're sheaves, they're bundled up, okay? So here it is, they're collecting the grain, and it says, for behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheep arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheep stood around mine and made worship to my sheep. So he says to his brothers, I had a dream that we were binding, but your sheaves bowed down and worshiped my sheaf. So you think his brothers like him more now? It's like, wait a minute. Okay. So we're going to get back to that. And his brothers said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more in his and his dreams for his word. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have a dream, a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bow down and worship me. And now, who are the 11? The other 11 tribes of Israel. What tribe is Jesus from? Judah. So he's saying 11 of the tribes are going to worship the king. Comes from where? Judah. And my mother and father are going to bow down and worship me. You mean Mary and Joseph are going to bow down and worship you as well? But this is what Joseph is telling them. I'm going to be ruler over all of you, and you don't have a clue yet what's going on. So here we go. Let's continue. We got to go back up after I finish. And he told his father and to his brother, and his brother and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that you had? Shall me and your mother and your brothers indeed come down and bow ourselves to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father observed the same. Joseph dreamed that he would one day rule over his brothers, and his mother and his father would bow down. Selah, you have to think about that, okay? Now, I want to stop there, okay? Because I want to now talk about the sheaves, okay? Because what he's talking about is harvesting the field, which is what God is doing. God is harvesting the earth, okay? If God is harvesting the earth, that means this story about harvesting is not about Joseph, it's about God's harvest, okay? And in Joseph's story, there's no harvest during the 7 years of famine, which we're in. So can we expect a wheat harvest during the famine years? No, okay? But you know that it's been taken and put away so that it can be used for the proper time, okay? I'm telling you, God talks to David. That's David Hagel. Now, I want us all to go to Psalms 126. What is the incredible thing about Psalms? That at the Psalms 120, it begins to talk about ascending up, okay? And it starts off with a prophecy that in the year 120, what God is going to have to deliver us from is lies, which I hate to tell you, all you mask wearers, you've been lied to, okay? There is 4 million people did not die last week from coronavirus.
Really?
It was on the news. Like, there's 4 million more affected just last week. And who knows how many deaths those will bring. And I was like, really? 4 million people got the flu last week? But the whole lie is preparing the world for tribulation. If you know that you're past the 6,000th year, and you know that the 120th Jubilee has already been announced by Donald Trump in 2017, you know that you're living in the end times. If you know that they're trying to give you a vaccine that has a a DNA deterrent in it or a DNA interruption in it, and that what's in that DNA is going to make you sicker, and they can also monitor where you are with that vaccine. You know, you're living in some weird times, okay? So for you, us to just ignore what times we're living in is absolutely crazy. So in Psalms 120, it starts talking about the time of ascent, because God always judged in the 120th year. Now, this is what I want us to read. Now, Psalms 120 to Psalms 127 and 128 is a perfect, I'm not saying it's kind of like, it's a perfect picture of the tribulation. There's a beginning, there's a war against Israel, there's a mid-trib where the whole world comes against Israel, there's God protecting Israel, and in the 126th Psalm, it starts talking about Jesus who came with the seed. What is the seeds? The parable says he dropped seeds along the ground, and some fell among good ground, and some fell among thorny ground. So the seed is what? He said is the word of God. So Jesus came and he dropped the good seed, okay? So now Psalms 26 is headed toward the end of the tribulation, and it says this. It says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter. This is toward the end of the tribulation, what God is announcing he's going to do. And our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said amongst the Gentiles, I hope your Bible says heathens or Gentiles, or if it says nations, that means the Goyim, which is the Hebrew word for the Gentiles, okay? So it says, then it was said among the Gentiles, so the Jews are now living amongst the Gentiles, the Lord has done great things for them. So the Jews and the Gentiles are saying the Lord has done great things, okay? The Lord has done great things for us. So they said, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. Who? Both Jews and Gentiles. We are all full of joy. You hear that? So when Jesus comes back, both Jews and Gentiles will be singing songs and laughter saying, Jesus has done great things for those people. And they will say, and he's done great things for us too, right? So now it says in verse 4, restore our fortune, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow, no, it says in the... Those who sow in tears will reap the song of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, who went out, who cried in sadness because he's leaving us and he's going back to heaven, but he's praying over us that we protect it. And he has seed with him. What is the seed? The word of God, okay? So it says, he who left us in tears with the word of God, sprinkling it out amongst human beings to see whether it would fall on good ground, stony ground, right? So it says, he who goes out weeping, carrying seeds to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. So he's coming back with a bundles of what? Harvest. Yes. Who was harvested? The Old Testament saints and the church have been harvested. So now he says when he comes back, he's coming back with the people that he harvested out of the world. Okay? So understand what when you're reading in the book of Joseph about gathering the sheaves, he's talking about something that God is going to be doing, okay, with the whole world. Let me get back to my notes. I could go on and on with that, but I want to make sure that I get everything in here. So now in Genesis chapter 37, verse 18, it says, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Verse 23 of 37, it came to pass that when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Okay, you guys hear that? So what they do first of all to Joseph, they took off his jacket. His father made him a beautiful coat of many colors, because he loved Joseph so much, because he was a child born in his later years. It says his brothers, when they threw him in the hole, they took his coat. The coat that his dad made for him, they took it. They were jealous when he made it for him. And then they took his coat and they threw him in a hole and they took his beautiful coat. Reuben said, let's not do this. We don't want to have his blood on our hands, okay? Let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the hole. Because Reuben was planning on coming back and getting him later. So Reuben goes back to get him. And while Reuben was away, you know what? Judah spoke up. Who is Judah sitting? Judas. Judah speaks up and Judah says, hey, let's not kill our brother. Instead, let's make a little money. Maybe we can sell him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites gave Judah 20 pieces of silver. So Judah sells his brother to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, just like Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. 50 meaning the Jubilee, right? This is going to be a joyful thing, but listen to my story that the author's telling you, okay? Now, so anyway, they took his coat. And it says, in Matthew chapter 37, after that, after the guards mocked him, it says, they mocked him, they took off the robe, they took the robe off of him and put on his own remnant and led him away to be crucified. So even when Jesus was about to be thrown in a hole, the guards took his robe off of him. Okay? So, because remember, God is making sure every detail gets explained so that you know that they're talking about Jesus. Okay? And it says in verse 37, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let us not put our hands upon him, for he is our brother in our own flesh and blood. But he's thinking about what? I can get 20 pieces of silver for this. And it says, in verse 28, it says, then there passed the Midianites, the merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they bought Joseph and took him to Egypt. Okay? Okay. I want to go down to verse 37, verse 31. It says, they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goat and dipped the coat in blood. Okay? Revelation 19 says, when Jesus comes back, he's wearing a coat dipped in blood. Why does Revelation chapter 19, 13 says when Jesus returns, he's coming back wearing a coat dipped in blood? Why? He wants to remind the Jews, I'm the one, the very one you killed. I'm the very one that you took his coat off and dipped it in blood, because when his brothers did it to Joseph, you know what they did? They killed a goat, then they took the coat and they dipped it in the blood, and then they took the coat home to Joseph's father, to their father, and said, our brother Joseph must have got ate by a wild animal goat, because we found his coat, but it had blood on it. But when Jesus comes back, he's saying he's going to be wearing that coat to remind them that you lied and you are the ones who had me crucified. You understand?
Wow.
Let's continue.
10 minutes
now. Amen. Okay. I have to move on from there because we only have 10 minutes. Okay, now. I want us to go. Okay, now watch this. Joseph is in where? Joseph is where? He's in Egypt, right? He gets accused of a crime he didn't commit, and he ends up being thrown in jail. But they're not just, it's not just Jesus on Calvary. Who's there with him? Two other. So while he's in jail, two other people are thrown in jail, a cupbearer and a baker, okay? Now, Jesus is the bread of life, right?
Yes.
And wine is in the blood, right?
Yes.
Wine redeems. The blood redeems, right?
Yes.
What happens to bread? Because Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. The bread is, what do we do with the bread? We break the bread. So the bread's going to go through some trouble. The wine's going to redeem. So if now both the wine, the cupbearer, and the baker have a dream, what do you think is going to happen to the baker? You're not going to make it. And what happens to the cupbearer? You're going to be redeemed and brought back into service with the king. But the baker gets killed. The one who has the wine gets brought back into the palace and he gets his job back. And Joseph is left in prison waiting for the wine bearer to tell the king to not forget about him, okay? And this is when it happens. This is when the king has a dream. And the king's dream was he saw seven fat cows. Okay? Then he saw seven scrawny little skinny cows that looked sick. And he saw the little skinny cows eat up the seven fat cows, but the skinny cows still looked skinny. And he dreamed that and he woke up and he said, that was crazy, right? So then he has the same thing about a wheat harvest or a corn harvest. And he says it was so beautiful, seven bundles, seven sheaves of it. And then there was a scrawny little bundle, but it consumed the good ones, and yet it was still. And he said, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have seven good years, and we're going to have seven bad years. Because he brings Joseph out of prison, right? And he brings Joseph in, and Joseph gives him the interpretation of the dream. What's the interpretation of the dream? We're going to have seven good years before we go into tribulation. The time for the church to be harvesting isn't right before the tribulation. The time of the church to be harvesting was 7 years ago. And so now we're getting to the beginning of tribulation, and now there's no harvesting during the tribulation. When Joseph gives the interpretation to the king, he does what Joseph says. They store up all kinds of harvest for 7 years till the country is rich in produce, right? And then when the famine started, every nation was starving to death except for Egypt. The Pharaoh gives Joseph the name, I'm going to try to pronounce it, Zophthaphaneah. Zophthaphaneah. The Pharaoh gave him this new name. You know why it's so long? This is what it means. Treasure of the glorious rest, savior of the world, revealer of secrets. So he's saying, Joseph is a treasure that's going to save the world, and he's a revealer of secrets. Okay? We are talking about here the tribulation. Because during the tribulation, this is what the king also does. He not only gives Joseph a new name that says that he's a glorious treasure and a savior of the world and a revealer. He gives him a pagan wife named Asenath. And she's a Gentile. When the tribulation begins, do you think that Joseph and his wife were starving? No. Where was Joseph and his wife during the tribulation? I mean, during the famine?
In the palace.
Is the church the bride of Christ?
Yes.
Is David representing Jesus? Where will Jesus be when the tribulation hit? In the kingdom, in the palace with the bride. You understand? So he takes the bride, he brings her, he has her in the palace. Joseph is living in the palace, but the rest of the world is about to go through 7 years of tribulation and of famine. And so now he brings his brothers in. Now his brothers come to him. And the brothers say to him, we came here to buy food. They don't recognize him because the last time they saw him when? They threw him in a hole. He was younger then. He's a man now. They threw him in a hole, and now he's the second in charge in the kingdom of Egypt. So they come and they say, we just came to buy food. And he says, okay. So he brings him in to buy food. He puts him through test and talking and everything. Finally, he can't take it anymore, and he reveals to them who he is. He says, oh, by the way, I'm your brother Joseph. Now, what do you think they're thinking at that time?
You're gonna kill us.
We're about to die. But see, this is the same story when Moses came off the hill with his face glowing. What did they think? We're about to die. But what does Joseph do? He treats them very kindly, and he lets them know, what you did to me, you did for evil. But God had to do it, had you do that to me, because it's going to save millions of people. It's going to save a multitude of people. God had you do this. And so Jesus and Joseph has the same stories. So why would we think that in our tribulation year that's about to start, that we're waiting for the wheat harvest for the church? When Joseph's tribulation time, there was no wheat harvest. The harvest had already been gathered.
Wow.
Preparing for what? The tribulation. So why would God make sure every detail of Joseph's life is on point? Every detail is on point. From being three people about to being in prison to three people being on Calvary.
Yes,
amen. To the bread being broken, to the wine redeeming. Everything about Joseph is about Jesus. Then we get to the 7 years and the 7 years of famine, and it's about to be the 7 year of famine. And we know the problem with the famine years is that there's nothing to eat. There's no harvest in the world. That the harvest has already been gathered away. But we don't apply this to Joseph in our tribulation time, when exactly what he's talking about is the tribulation time.
Yes.
So for many of us that are waiting for the Pentecost harvest of the wheat, that's during tribulation. The wheat's already in the barn. God knows who you are. He knows those that are his. So now you get to the book of Matthew. And what does Matthew say? John says that he will gather his wheat into the barn. Okay? But the chaff he will burn up. But he's gathered the wheat into the barn, but he's saving it because the world is going to tribulation. My job is this. To let you know that what you're a part of is real. That's why I told you about a Jewish rabbi having a prophecy given to him in 1217 to tell him that 400 years from now, Jerusalem is going to be taken. In 1517, the Ottoman Turks take Jerusalem. And he says they're going to hold on to it for 8 jubilees, 400 years. 1917, exactly 400 years later, Balfour Court, they win back Jerusalem with an intent to give it back to the Jews in exactly the time that was prophesied. And Jesus and David is begins his service when he's 17. And Jesus is born 17 years before the 4,000th year. So it's like somebody up there is measuring everything and he knows what's going on. So what makes us think he does not know what's going on in the world right now? That we're sitting around here going, oh my God, God must not know what's going on. I need to work and they're trying to make me take the vaccine. God has no clue. It's not true. God knows exactly where you are, what position you're in, and he knows when to take his bride. But taking of the bride is a real event that's about to happen. And we may not see a wheat harvest. The wheat has already been collected because Joseph Life says there's no harvest in the tribulation years.
That makes so much sense.
So I want to thank David for praying about that, because on Hebrew class, we were like, man, it's supposed to be the wheat harvest, but it's not the wheat harvest. And both Rod says, hey, maybe the 217 is February, because that's Adar. And there's no harvest during the, so we can't wait for the wheat harvest. We got to wait till summertime. No, we don't have time. They trying to give us vaccines now.
Strange places.
God may know that. This whole thing is not taking him by surprise. God loves each and every one of us. Imagine your bride. Charles knows. You love your bride, right? You're not going to tell your bride, well, good luck, honey. Hope you make it. You know what I mean? You're in a car. You see her struggling. She's walking in the rain. And you drive by and go, hope you make it, honey. So do we think God is like that? We think Jesus is like that with the bride? Absolutely not. So he knows what we're going through. He knows what's coming. He already told us in Genesis he knows what's coming. And he's going to take care of his bride. When the famine gets here, you'll be in the palace with the king. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Good God.
Hallelujah.